Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines, and Rod Blagojevich is now the former governor of Illinois. That's because just moments ago, the Illinois State Senate, by a unanimous vote of 59-0, voted to convict Blagojevich on the impeachment charges lodged against him by the Illinois State House of Representatives. Earlier in the day, Blagojevich had reversed course. He had earlier promised not to take part in the impeachment trial at all because he says the rules were stacked against him. Instead, Blagojevich did come to the state Senate and made one final plea for lawmakers to acquit him, Blagojevich saying that the truth is on his side.
My desire to be able to appear here before the Senate trial, and have a chance to be able to tell the whole story, have every single witness I could possibly bring be able to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
And ultimately, Blagojevich says the evidence against him is unclear.
Only Article 3, was there any evidence presented to suggest that something may have been done? In all the other articles, no evidence was presented to prove up criminal allegations.
This day was foreshadowed back in December when the U.S. Attorney in Illinois, Patrick Fitzgerald, announced to Illinois as well as the nation that Blagojevich had been caught on a federal wiretap investigation trying to sell the soon-to-be-vacated Senate seat at that time of Senator Barack Obama, who had just been elected the next president of the United States. Blagojevich was also found trying to be extorting the Chicago Tribune, promising them state aid only if editorial writers who had called for his impeachment were fired. Blagojevich once again maintained his innocence and then spent a lot of time talking about issues not particularly relevant to the impeachment trial. And in the end, Christine Rodagno, the Republican leader in the state Senate, said it's just another speech from Rod Blagojevich.
He's a magician, and we've been wowed by his tricks for a long time. But now we've seen him so many times that all the magic is gone.
Again, Rod Blagojevich, now the former governor of Illinois, by unanimous vote of 59-0 in the Illinois State Senate, Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn will become the next governor of the land of Lincoln. Back here in Washington, it was a unanimous vote on the other side of the aisle that has a lot of people talking. All 177 Republicans voting in the House of Representatives on Wednesday night voted against the $819 billion economic stimulus plan. So the question to President Barack Obama's press secretary on Thursday was, are his overtures to the GOP a waste of time since none of them supported the bill? But Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says the president's not about to give up on bipartisanship less than 2 weeks into the administration.
Old habits die hard in this town. We get that. But the president understands that changing the way Washington works isn't likely to happen in just 10 days.
Republicans say the stimulus plan is just bloated big government spending and not a lot of areas designed in that bill to actually create the jobs or secure the jobs that the legislation is supposedly intended for. Now, of course, it's the Senate's turn to take up the legislation. A vote there probably won't come for a couple of weeks. Alabama Republican Senator Jeff Sessions is very skeptical of the plan, saying the price tag is absolutely colossal.
We're talking about the largest spending bill in the history of the Republic, and so we need to resist this package with every strength that we have.
Meanwhile, Arizona Republican Senator John Kyle, the number two Republican in the Senate, said Democrats are simply not allowing Republicans into what should be a bipartisan process.
We have ideas that will really create jobs and help people and help get the economy moving again. We've been rejected in our attempts to get those considered.
Meanwhile, the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is promising to untangle a snag in the tax code that could trip up middle-class taxpayers. Reid says there will be another temporary fix for what's known as the alternative minimum tax provision, but he says the resolution won't necessarily be in the pending economic stimulus package. The AMT was meant to ensure that the wealthy didn't completely escape income taxes, but could ensnare 20 million middle-income taxpayers as well, since the law, which was passed in the late 60s, was not adjusted for inflation. The U.S. Senate also moving towards a major expansion of the state children's health insurance program by more than $30 billion over the next 4.5 years. Proponents like New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez call it a health safety net for low-income kids.
And in this economy, in this recession, we cannot allow our children to be the silent victims. It is morally wrong to jeopardize the health care of these children. What have they done?
The program, known as SCHIP, is designed to provide health care coverage for kids whose families make too much to qualify for Medicaid, but don't make enough to afford private health insurance. Republicans say this addition brings in kids whose parents can easily afford health insurance. And once again, Senator Kyle says this has not been a bipartisan process.
We'll get votes on amendments. They'll all lose, and the bill will then pass, and we end up with a totally partisan package. I don't think that's what the president had in mind when he talked about putting legislation together in a bipartisan way.
Meanwhile, after a great day on Wednesday, the Dow Industrials plunging by triple digits on Wall Street, off 226 points to close at 8149. The S&P 500 off 29 to 845. The Nasdaq losing 50 points to close at 1508. Crude oil off 72 cents on the day. Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, we'll find out why firms are willing to spend $3 million on a Super Bowl ad in a struggling economy. We'll also have part one of our interview with American Grit author Tony Blankley. And up next, John Gizzi.